Not already doing that. Welcome home.
Yay!
Woo!
Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome home. It's everybody's home. Don't tell somebody it's not their home. Okay, it's not your home. Alright. Welcome home. We're going to say that a lot today. Welcome home. This is the place, these walls, all of this is the place that our family, our church family, is going to be gathering in for the foreseeable future.
Woo!
Yeah.
Come on,
right?
Yeah.
Welcome home. This is our family's home. Right? And we're going to try to live in here as a family lives in a home. Right? We're gonna celebrate in here. We're gonna host people in here and be welcoming. This is gonna be a home, a place for us to come back to and be safe from the storm of life. This is our home, and we wanna make it our home to celebrate, to host, to be safe from the storm of life. This is a place where we can be free. And we can just be home. Right? This is a place where we can love. Like home. This is a place where we can watch other people's maturity and their journey. And it's also where we can be a part of other people's growth as well. This is home. It's a place where we can serve. It's a place where we can be served. Folks, welcome home. Amen. We're going to try to continue to live with this place as our home by God's grace. Amen. Or as Elizabeth would say, stay lit, fam. I'm learning from Elizabeth a whole lot, most of which you probably don't want to know about. But in the past 3 years, I can't believe it's been 3 years. In the past 3 years, but maybe even more acutely in the past 3 months, I think I've gained a new appreciation for the Israelites who wandered the desert for 40 years. Like, with no real place to settle down, with no real place to settle in. Right? We've spent 2 years hijacking your guys' home. The kitchen, the living room, the basement, the upstairs, any place we can hijack, we hijacked. Thank you. Right. We spent last year in short-term pop-up space, which was great. And the Lord used that and our presence in there. But now we are here in this space. And listen, place is important to us. Having a place is important to us because it's important to God. Right? Don't miss this throughout the Word of God, right? That He gives a place for Adam and Eve to be and to dwell. Right? And go to the Israelites, and He gives them a place to live, to dwell, right? To be with Him. Acts 17, if you go all the way there, tells us that God defines the boundaries of our places. Right? We know the end of the story is that He's ultimately calling all of His people back to a home. Place is important. Physical spaces and places for God's people to be our homes are a gift from the Lord. So welcome home. I would be remiss if we didn't just take the time to just stop and say thank you to a lot of people who have put so much into making this place their home. Yes, the Lord builds His house. Yes, we want to give credit to the Lord, but I also want to give credit to the Lord by thanking people. And I want you to hear both thanking the Lord and also just recognizing, honoring people and what they do. So thank you for everybody who's been a part of this journey through giving, through praying, through volunteering. Especially thank you for your patience as we've been nomadic for a little bit. So there definitely is a thank you in there generally, but I also have some specific thank yous as well. And not everybody could be here today who's going to be named, but let's just start going down the list here. Paul and Mike Snide.
Yes.
Thank you. Paul couldn't be here today. He had already committed to be playing bass at Terranova Troy. So he was super bummed when this ended up being our first Sunday. But that's okay. Paul and Mike, their construction skills, a lot of what you see came out of their two hands.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And they dealt with a lot of my persistent questioning and all of that stuff too. So thank you for that. The Elizabethans. These two Elizabeths. Thank you. The decorations, the atmosphere, the creative design, they learned from me. And then they
Yeah.
Rip. Thank you for your skills and your gifts and just knowing the value of how our space looks and what that means for hospitality. Thank you. Odette. For dealing with me, maybe number one, your patience, your organization of my scatteredness, thank you, and then all of the cleaning, all of the other organizing of very specific things you do, you are a blessing, thank you. My kids, who are upstairs running, you probably can hear their feet, but my kids probably spent way too many hours of me picking them up off the bus in the last month or two, and then coming to have to sit here and watch Daddy work. They got a lot of Netflix and like Paw Patrol and all that, so they're fine with it, I guess, but I do want to say thank you to my kids and their patience with Daddy over the past couple weeks. They also got to help too, which was always fun. Samantha, thank you for being here, and the photography. Gabe. This space wouldn't be the space without the doors. For the handyman help, for the doors, and your encouraging words.
Yes.
You and Amber. Many of you don't know Kelly Clark. She's not here today. She couldn't be here. Kelly Clark is an architect from Bennington, but she gave her skills in designing this space to us to help guiding us through the permitting process. Oh my goodness, thank you for that. But so thank you for Kelly. She's going to try to be here with us in a couple weeks. She's at a wedding in New York today, I think, somewhere down in New York City. Steve and Sarah, thank you for your leadership on the board level of the Green. And how those two organizations are continuing to evolve, Terranova and the Green, the relationship. And thank you for your leadership, specifically with the Green and its role here in the community. So thank you for that. My mom and dad. And my father-in-law, who couldn't be here. When my dad and Nicole's dad are contractors, you leverage that. They are certainly part of our extended family at this church, and my parents have spent probably more days than you guys have realized traveling here, delivering construction supplies as part of that. They've also painted, sat here, assembled stuff, cleaned. So thank you for... and then last but not least, Nicole. Nicole is in the process of hand making curtains for that window, all of those windows back there. So they will be coming soon. So thank you for that. But thank you especially for all of the support and the buy-in you have for this idea. For your steadfastness in what we believe God has called us to do. Thank you. All right, I gotta stop. That took longer than we anticipated. Thank you to everybody for being a part of this journey.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let me pray. I didn't make another transition, hopefully. Join me in praying, please. Father, as we name a bunch of people, we are indirectly naming you. So thank you for allowing us to play in the sandbox of your kingdom. For what Sarah has already prayed earlier, that we don't get why you choose to do your work through us, but thank you. Yeah, there's days when we complain and we're bitter and tired, but the deepest joys for our soul are doing your work. And thank you for that. Keep us bold. Keep us faithful, because we know that you're faithful. Father, may these walls very tangibly be a space where heaven can meet earth. May real pilgrim people find you, the real eternal God, in this space through these people. I have no idea how you do that, but you do, and can you do it? May people encounter you through us here. It's by Christ's grace that we ask these things, and that you can do it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Today we're going to take a break from 1 Corinthians that we've been in for since the beginning of September, I believe. And I want to spend some time. What we've already been doing is celebrating. And we're going to continue to do that. But I also want us to spend a chunk of time remembering. I think it's important for us in these moments to just hit pause and remember stuff, or maybe said differently, reminding ourselves of why, right? Like why this church plant is doing what we're doing, especially as it relates to the physical space that we find ourselves in today. That's the big caveat underneath that umbrella today. For some of you, this is going to serve as a reminder. For others of you, this is be new, but it also gives you a window into our church's heart as to what we're trying to do. And then out of that, celebrating and remembering, I also want us to look forward and dream of what God will do in this space through us for his glory and for our good and for the good of this city. All right? Quick pause. I think Steve already mentioned this and I forgot, so I have to do it now. Immediately after the service today, we're going to also do just a kind of a quick Q&A on some important organizational updates that are happening regarding Terra Nova and the Green, more financial and business-oriented stuff that's important, but we wanted to kind of take that and put it after church today. So, namely in there, the Green is now its own organizational entity, its own 501c3, and the church is gifting this space to the Green. Like literally giving it to the Green. The church is literally giving this space to our community. And that comes with very important organizational implications that I want anybody who calls this church their home, I want you to be aware of those things. Or if it's new and you want that information, then join us afterwards. Immediately after, we'll spend, it shouldn't be too long. I'm thinking 20 to 30 minutes, we should be able to get through everything. Quick update, quick Q&A. The kids teachers upstairs, if you have kids up there, they're willing to stick around afterwards and play with kids. So if you want them to hang out there, that's totally good too. So that'll be right after the sermon today. But let's just take a few minutes and walk back through the journey the Lord has had for us. January 2015. We began as our family there. 9 people in the class's living room. In January of 2015. What we knew at that time was really not that complicated. What we knew at that time was we wanted to do life with one another. We wanted the Bible to shape who we were and where we were going. And we wanted Jesus to be the glue that kind of held us together. That's kind of what we started with. Let's do life together. Let's focus in on the Bible and let Jesus be the unity that we had for each other. And it wasn't very long after that we started to have some pretty far-fetched dreams of what God might do through us, kind of asking ourselves that question, could God do extraordinary things through very ordinary folk? And it wasn't before long into that conversation and those prayers that what began to take shape was church planting, or launching a new church, not just a small group that was meeting in a living room. But in that journey of planting a church, we had to kind of slow down and take our time and ask ourselves some really important questions. And I'm grateful for Steve because he values this question maybe as much as I do, and that is the why question. I don't know how many times Steve and I had that conversation about why, but why? And one of those first questions you have to ask in the church planting journey is, why start a new church? Which sounds obvious, but I think you need to have an answer for that. I mean, there's already churches here. So why are we starting a new church? Well, the answer to that is not that we think we have some new theology that the current or the traditional or the ancient church has missed. Right? We're just not that clever. Right? That's not what's going on here, that we have a new theology. If I was to borrow from where we are right now in our sermon series with 1 Corinthians, is we stand in a long line of servants of Jesus and stewards of the gospel. All right? That's broadly speaking, and that also is here in North Adams. We stand in a long line of people who've gone before us. Our message and our mission is not new. All right? But we felt God was leading us to consider a new method. Right? Our mission and our message wasn't new, but could there be a new method? Right? There's nothing new under the sun, yes, but there are different seasons of life. The coming and the going and the ebbing and the flowing. So could we strive to deliver God's timeless message in a new way and in a new place? Not to showcase our cleverness. Goodness, no. You're in trouble if we're trying to showcase our cleverness or even our creativity. All right, but what we're trying to showcase is God's relevancy to all peoples in all places in all times. Right? And very specifically, God's relevancy to the people right here in North Adams, in the Northern Berkshires and Southern Vermont. Right? Studies are going to tell you that in a 10-mile radius from where we are right here, there are about 40,000 people who call this home. You guys live here. You get this. We know, we can attest to how few of those 40,000 find Jesus as their great Lord and their good Savior. Right? Something new was needed to convey the timeless message of God. Central to that conviction, this is really important. I'm going to stay here for a little bit. All right. God is eternal. Right?
Yes.
God is eternal, right? So what that actually means a lot. Right? And so if God is eternal, then what God has to say transcends all of it. Right? So his gospel message then transcends all people, all cultures, all times, all geographic places. All of that is transcended by an eternal God. Right, so catch this, what this means. This is really important. What this means is that we can never progress past the supremacy of God or the relevancy of Jesus. That's huge. A lot flows out of that. God is eternal. We can never progress past his supremacy and his relevancy to us. So, how, in such a progressive and advanced culture like ours, can Jesus be seen as relevant? How can he be seen as beautiful and believable as he always was, always is, and always will be? That is a big question. The answer we propose through us? How is Jesus seen relevant? How is he seen as beautiful and believable? Is because he is those things to his people in the context of that specific culture. Right? That we live out Jesus' beautifulness to my heart, that we live out his believableness to my mind, that we live out his relevancy over all aspects of my life in a way that connects with, makes sense to the people around us. Right? So I'm not living a faith or a religion from the 1500s. In a way, like, we stand on those shoulders. Don't misunderstand me there. Right? We want our spaces, we want our conversation, we want the way that we live and move to make sense. To not feel so distant from the way people live, move, talk, breathe, read, watch, entertain, work around us. You see, Jesus is not just simply an antiquated religious leader or a spiritual band-aid for our less scientifically advanced forefathers. He's not. He's eternal. His supremacy and his relevancy never waver. So, our desire to plant a new church is to continue speaking the same message. That it does impact people's lives. It does transform people's lives, even in the here and now. Right, so our journey of planting a new church is just not for our own comfort. It's not for our own enjoyment. At the core of this is that so we can bring to our family and friends the enjoyment and the comfort of Christ for their soul. That's why. How? If that's why we're doing what we're doing, then how? How do we do that? How do we plant a church here in North Adams, specifically, right, for this time, this culture, this place? Right, and so we spent a bunch of time, maybe some would argue too much time, I don't know, thinking, listening, praying, trying to learn about our context, like engaging with our community of what the need was, who the people were here. And as ideas began to formulate, one of the things we kept coming back to was this idea of space and how space was used, specifically the space that a church family would gather in. How could that be looked at as an asset from the church to the community? Right, we didn't want physical space that was just built for us, with us in mind. Right, we didn't want just a space that would bring into it people who were already comfortable with the same ideas, the same way of thinking. Like we weren't trying to build an echo chamber, right, for church folk who already believed and thought like we did. Like we were looking for something broader. If we're actually looking to bring Jesus to people who aren't following Jesus, then we need to create a space where that's comfortable. All right, so we set out on this journey of trying to be a church using its space in a way that could intentionally foster relationships between those following Jesus and those who are currently not. Right, we just wanted to build the relationship. That's what we were looking to do. So we felt there was a need for actual, like, real, like tangible, physical space where different people with different values, with different beliefs, could actually know one another and be with one another. Right, so we were seeking a home, not just for a church, but we were seeking a home for a diversity of people, for a diversity of ideas. Because here's what, you guys know this, right? Here's what we see in our culture. This is just, I think, growing in our time. What we're seeing is that physical and relational distance from those different from us fosters a devaluing of the other. Right? It fosters division, actually. Right? But presence with those different than us, like real presence, with those different than us, can, by God's grace, they can foster meaningful dialogue and conversation that hopefully results in understanding, that hopefully results in love, respect, truth. But we need to be in the same space, not on the same website. The core of this idea is no different than the core of the incarnation. Can I just point this out? Right? The incarnation, like God with us, coming in Christ, God made flesh, God taking on human form so that we could see him, understand him, know him. Right? So Christ present with us, God with us, like the us. Like, don't forget who the us is there for a second. Different than God. The Bible would say that enemies of God, right? Christ comes to those different from him, does life with them, walks with them, looks like them, talks like them, all of that. And out of that, then we can see and understand and love him. Sorry. So the idea of thinking here was, could our church create space that invites different people to a round community table where everybody was welcome? Right? This thinking here was rather than the church having a space that we controlled, could this church have a space it collaborates in with the community and for the community? Like that's one sentence, but there's a lot underneath how you unpack that. Right, so we, rather than having a church where we try to walk to the community and say, hey, come to us, we're intentionally trying to have a shared space that the church is then a part of. So hopefully we can bring Christ to those places, and hopefully they see Christ and they understand Christ through that relational process. That was some of our early thinkings and hopes of this space that we're calling the Green. It was intentionally designed for community, not just the church. All right. The inspiration here for this thinking was, I want to give you two things where one is the incarnation that I've already alluded to. That was probably the deepest and the most formative of the inspirational thinking behind this idea. But there was two other ones too that I do want to mention to you. The first of those things would be just our very own New England history. And the second is going to be actually Celtic monastic history, because if we don't turn to the Irish, then we're just fools. So, I know, sorry. All right. Let's look at the village, the New England Village Green first. It is what inspires the name of the space, the Green. All right. So you all know this because, and I can't say y'all because we're in New England, but y'all know this because you're here, right? New England towns are known for this. Historically speaking, New England towns, like the Village Green, right? That town square is what we're known for. These things were formed centuries ago when our towns were planted and formed with the Puritans in the early part of the American history here, that they formed these town greens, these centrally located open spaces were important to the Village Green. It was where anyone or everyone in the community could gather for events, for recreation, for public meetings, for work, whatever. The Village Green was kind of the central space for the town. It was the communal shared living room of the community. It was the Village Green. And almost every time you looked at that, right off of the Village Green was a church. In New England history. Right there is part of that community space. We're trying to take that and we're trying to re-envision that here as to what this might be as a downtown, central, community space, a shared space, open and available to anyone who is a member of this broad community, a modern, year-round Village Green, but then have right as a part of it a key piece of what's important to community, church. Not pushed to the margins, not on the outskirts, but right here amongst the community. right? This space for the whole community where we can converse, where we can celebrate, where we can share ideas, where we can work alongside of each other, where we can enjoy life one another. The New England Village Green actually informs and inspires what we're trying to do conceptually in this space. And that's part of why we named it what we named it. Trying to bring people together, not virtually, but in person. Right. That's New England. Let's go back further, maybe go back to 1600 years ago to Ireland and the great missionary St. Patrick that we celebrate every March. And he's got a great story. If you guys don't know the story of St. Patrick, you need to know the story of St. Patrick. That's not today. That might be a different day. But there's a book written by George Hunter in the last 20 years or so called The Celtic Way of Evangelism, and it kind of walks through how St. Patrick brought Christianity to what was a barbaric culture known as the Irish, who remained barbaric. Guess he didn't work out so well. But the book kind of walks through, it takes a look at how St. Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland and how his monastic communities that he would set up, how they would live among the Irish settlements who had never before heard of Christ, right? When I say barbaric, what I was kind of saying is that they didn't know Christ, they had no link to his gospel. All right, but even that culture, let's just remember this, even that culture was not beyond the supremacy and the relevancy of God. All right, so St. Patrick moves there to bring them the gospel message. And there is a ton that I could say about this book, but let me just try to summarize, and I'm going to give you a quote. If I was to summarize the whole of the book, here's some of the stuff that I think is really core to what we're trying to do here. St. Patrick would set up their monastic communities right near the center of their towns, right, or as close to like the goings-on as they could, right? And when they did that, they would build these low rock walls around what defined their space in the community, like their homes, the places where they were working, and all that kind of stuff. Intentionally low walls because they wanted people to be able to see their way of living and what was going on. Right, and they welcomed anyone to come in. It wasn't a gated community. Anybody could come in and enter, be among and interact with the people in that community. They would intentionally give space to people in the community to come and ply their trade within their monastic community. Right? Blacksmiths, bakers, shepherds, whatever else they did 1600 years ago. Right? All of these were allowed to come and go and conduct business with them freely. They valued transparency and authenticity in their communal life, and that reflected itself in the way they built their physical space. Right? Their community, they wanted it to be a welcoming home for anyone. And here's what's really important for us to remember that they kind of laid out a good foundation for, is that they were seeking friendly cultural exchange, not forcing cultural indoctrination. Ooh, that's huge. And followers of Christ can engage that hard walk because God is eternal. And he is supreme and he is relevant. We can celebrate culture, right? And God's gospel can celebrate that, and it don't have to just have indoctrination of your culture to look like something that we know of as Christian. We can freely exchange culture because we're human and God loves that diversity. We don't need to force cultural indoctrination. St. Patrick got that. I think probably it would be, I want to give you a quote here to kind of just, that's a summary of my words, and you can just take my word for it, but I also wanted to give you a little bit here of what's in the book. I think this should be on the screen as well. Yeah, this is going to be a couple slides I'll read for you. What was the difference between Eastern here in this context means Roman, right? So that idea that I just gave you was that the Roman monastic communities largely would go into a barbaric culture and say, you need to reform to Roman way of living. And that became a problem when that became correlated as a Christian way of living. right? That's kind of what I was talking about before. So what was the difference between Eastern monasteries and Celtic monastic communities? Briefly, the Eastern monasteries organized to protest against and escape from the materialism and corruption of the Roman world. Celtic monasteries organized to pursue the pagan world and extend the church. Eastern monks often withdrew from the world to save and cultivate their own souls. Celtic leaders often organized monastic communities aimed at saving other people's souls. Eastern monasteries were often in isolated locations, off the beaten track. Celtic Christians built their communities highly accessible to the traffic of the time. Celtic leaders and people sought to be open books. They stood in stark contrast to the secretive religion of the Irish Druids. That was the primary religion of the barbaric Irish island before Christianity found its way there. So they stood in stark contrast to the secretive religion of the Irish Druids and the isolated and distant religion of the Roman monasteries. The churches they planted were open to everyone with no secrets from anyone. They didn't claim to be other than they were or more than they were. They were devoted, compassionate, sold-out citizens of heaven. They relied on God's providence and power through prayer without ceasing, and they would do anything to help others find the same joy in their new way. That has inspired the story of this space. The subtitle to that book, The Celtic Way of Evangelism, is How the Irish Saved Civilization and Can Save the West Again. I think I got that subtitle somewhat right. I think they're on to something in the way they set up their communities. And we tried to have that same idea. Could we create that community space, that home where anyone could believe or belong and live, work, and play alongside one another, and then have church gather in that same space and gather in a way that holds open the front door of our building to anyone who wants to walk through? Right? Let's not retreat. Let's not isolate. Let's pursue. Let's value all people. Let's be a people steadfast in prayer and bold with the joy of the Lord that we have. So we wanted shared community space like the Village Green. We wanted welcoming, hospitable, authentic space like the Irish monastic communities. Like this place that was comfortable for us to be and also gave enough space for people to journey their faith as well is what we were looking for. Celebrate where we are. Let's remember the journey that we've been on and those who've gone before us that we're trying to stand on their shoulders. I'm glad we have these historical inspirations to draw upon. And these historical inspirations are meaningful to us because it reflects the way that Christ came to us, as we've already stated, that he came into our spaces, that he left his home. And he had a pretty good one. And he left that to come here. This mud ball. To look like us, to walk like us. He left his home in heaven to join in the everyday hustle and bustle of our lives, to join in the suffering and the pain of our lives. He left his home to pursue us. Let's not isolate. And he created space. You watch the life of Jesus. And that dude created space and welcomed anyone into his life. And in doing that, he delivered to us something that all humans in all times, in all places, long for. But we don't know really where to find. And that's a home for our heart. Right? This place of contentment, of rest, of healing, of wholeness, this home for our heart. Right, St. Augustine, you may be familiar with this famous quote, St. Augustine would say, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Jesus said something pretty similar. Right, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. What's he saying? He's essentially saying, come home. Come home to me. Kick off the work shoes. Grab a snuggly blanket. Cook up some essential oils. Jesus loves that stuff. He loves this. Like, put your comfy clothes on. Grab a snack. Rest. Come home. What Jesus brings to us, what our hearts long for, but we don't know where to find, and we try to manufacture, is that place of soul rest. To stop doing and to just be. Let shame go. Let sins melt away. Just be with Christ. Rest. Come home. This is why we're laboring to plant this church. This is why we are investing so much into this space. Because Jesus wants to use us in this space to say that to the souls of people. Welcome home in Jesus. Right, we are blessed with a home, but why? What's the message of the Bible? Why does God bless his people? You can answer that question. I have blessed you so that you may bless others. That's not, I mean, that's said really clearly in the Old Testament in the Abrahamic covenant, but that is a thread that goes all the way through the whole book. That God has blessed us so that we can bless others. God has blessed us. Thank you, Lord, for the provision of this home. But why? The message is not any different. So that we can bless others. Welcome home, family. Now, let's be fruitful and multiply and start welcoming others into this home. Physically, here, and spiritually with Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. Thank you. I don't know if we can say that enough today, and we don't even need to stop saying it today. But thank you. And Father, let us not forget the way that your door has been opened to us so that our heart can find its home in you is because Christ came here and went to the cross for us. We cannot miss that part of this story. And Father, may the boast of Christ be ever on our tongue. May we be a people who, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, seek to know nothing but Christ crucified. And remember and recognize that that is how we are welcomed into your presence. Father, thank you for being faithful to that which you have called us to. May we cling to that with every strength that your Spirit can give us. May we be bold in you and humble with ourselves. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll celebrate communion with this next song. Communion will be in the back of the room. There'll be two people serving broken matzah. There's gluten-free matzah as well. That matzah represents the body of Christ broken for you on the cross, and the grape juice in the cup represents the blood of Christ shed for you as well. This is a table open to everyone to share a meal with this family. If you believe Christ is your Savior, we welcome you here to this table to remember, celebrate, and then follow him forward. Amen.
Sorrows land of God by his will. there.